This episode is sponsored by quality and innovative Game Bore cartridges. Game Bore shot shells are the choice of world champion David Radulovich and 26 times world champion George Digweed MBE. White Gold and Dark Storm contain precision-made diamond shot, manufactured exclusively in England, and coupled with high-performance smooth velocities, providing less felt recoil. If you're serious about your scores, you have to shoot with the best. When every clay counts, make sure you never compromise. Game Bore is the most decorated FITASC and sporting clay shot shells in the sport's history. Available now throughout the U.S., exclusively from KL Ammo. Find them online at www.gameboreus.com. Game Bore are simply the champion's choice.
American-made Atlas traps are made right here in Kansas and feature the finest quality, innovation, and support in the business. Atlas traps are made using aircraft-quality aluminum and stainless steel to ensure your traps will outlast the competition.
So whether you're an individual needing a private trap for practice and recreation, or a club needing to outfit your entire facility, family-owned and operated Atlas traps can suit all your needs.
Visit atlastraps.com to see the full line of commercial and recreational traps and accessories. With prices that won't make you see red and quality that won't leave you feeling blue, Atlas has the finest equipment available.
Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast with your hosts, Jason Rambo and Sean Alley. We bring you all things sporting clay. Our focus is bringing new shooters to the sport and helping all shooters by giving you the most useful info from coaches, pro shooters, gun clubs, product and service specialists. The Dead Pair Podcast, what every shotgun shooter wants to hear.
Paul?
Dead Pair.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Dead Pair Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Rambo. With me, the man that is large and in charge, Mr. Sean Alley.
You put a lot of weight on my shoulders with that. You know that, don't you?
Well, you tell me all the time. I got wide shoulders. I can take it.
I know. Yep. No, we're here. We're back.
Yes.
Let's do this.
Yes, absolutely. Another week of sporting clays talk, huh?
Yeah, there's just never enough, is there?
Never. Never.
When you're having fun, it's enjoyable.
Time flies.
It does.
So, hey, listen, we got Braxton Oliver coming on tonight.
Yeah. Brother from another mother.
Oh, jeez.
Hey, I got to support the big guys in this sport, you know? a lot of them skinny guys out there running around looking good. I'm telling you what, us big guys, we gotta stick together.
Right. Well, hey, listen, everyone, this episode is brought to you by Game Bore, Negrini, RE Ranger, Atlas Traps, and Bear Pelt. Thank you, everyone, for being on board with us. Could not do this without our sponsors. We really, truly appreciate them. We believe in their products. We believe in what they're doing, and that's why they're on board with us.
Yep.
So, Sean, what's coming up the pipe for you?
Where do I start? I mean, we've got a lot of stuff coming up here that's just, I mean, we got the SCTP.
Speaking of that, we are, at time of recording, about, I don't know, 4 weeks, no, 3 weeks out from the start of the SCTP Nationals, and they already have 7,300 registered shooters.
That's a lot.
This could be a record this year.
Yep.
So, and now, not only are they doing sporting clays, trap, skeet, they're also adding bunker and super sporting.
Yes.
To that roster.
Yep.
So, wow. Good for the kids, right?
A lot of events. A lot of different things they can choose from.
Yep. And we are going to be large and in charge, as Mr. Alley would say.
Now, wait a minute.
At the Masters Class 300 up at C4.
Yep. That's coming down the pipe.
End of July. And then we're going to be at the Ohio State shoot with a booth.
That's right.
And the booth will be on Saturday. Our wives will be running that booth, but Sean and I will be in and out. Of course, we'll be shooting. And Chad Roberts has agreed to come hang out with us.
Yep.
I'm dragging him in there, kicking and screaming. So everybody come say hi to Chad.
And hopefully we can hook up with Mr. Kruger.
Yes.
As well as Sean Spindell. We'll have the latest and greatest on site.
Yes.
From the tournament.
Yep, absolutely. And then after that, we're off to Michigan for a big shoot up there.
Yep.
Going to be talking.
All Mountain.
Going to be talking to those gentlemen up there. And then the Nationals is after that.
Yeah, so, October. Man, it's hard to believe this year is just flying by.
And then off to Florida.
So, right.
Lots of big things coming.
Big stuff. Big stuff.
Absolutely. And listen, Sean and I have had a ton of people coming up to us at tournaments saying hi, saying thank you for what we're doing. We truly appreciate that. That is so humbling. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed. I don't even know how to explain it. When somebody walks up and says, hey, I listen to your show.
Yep.
We think you guys are doing a great job. And it's just absolutely humbling. Yep,
it's great. But it's also fuel for the fire, so to speak, because it just makes us keep wanting to come back here and do more and do better and hopefully get as much out there to you guys as we can.
And let me tell you something. You ought to see the twinkle in Sean's eye when a fan walks up. I told him he's going to have to start carrying a Sharpie with him to sign autographs.
Yeah. Well, I'm hard to miss. You know, in a crowd of everybody there, just look for the big ogre-looking guy. That's me. If you had to guess, you're probably going to guess right.
I told the boys at KLMO, they're going to have to start paying you double. Because the Game Board logo is like a highway billboard.
Small billboard, yeah, exactly.
I'm just kidding, buddy. I
need to get lights and like LEDs on it or something and walk around.
No, we love you to death, Sean. I'm just teasing you. So, well, hey, listen, we're going to grab a real quick commercial break and then get right to Braxton Oliver. RE Ranger, you can't hit what you can't see. With 14 clay sight lenses manufactured by Carl Zeiss Vision, Ranger lenses add target clarity and contrast no matter the lighting condition. Visit reranger.com for all your shooting eyewear needs. Free shipping and returns in the U.S. on orders of $90 or more. And if you use the code DEADPAIR at checkout, you will save 10% off your order. See it further. See it faster. See it with precision with RE Ranger. Rad Chad Roberts is available and ready to teach you to be your best. Chad is a two-time All-American, two-time California FITAS champion, and a 2019 California State champion.
Chad stresses solid, fundamentally based processes that will ultimately allow a shooter to analyze and self-correct themselves as they learn and grow. He gives you all the tools to be able to apply the correct concepts and allow you to break targets consistently and be confident in all shooting situations.
Rad Chad can be reached at breakpointshootinginstruction@gmail.com or you can call or text him at 949-637-3001.
As a bonus, Chad will be holding coaching sessions at C4 in Madison, Ohio, August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, while there to compete for the Masterclass 300 tournament. Call C4 and ask for Jolene Carnabucci at 440-298-3200 to schedule an appointment or check availability.
A very special thank you to Bear Pelt. At Bear Pelt, it's not just your vest, it's your new uniform. BearPelt.com, design your own custom vest. See why their quality, innovation, and low prices will be the best vest you have ever had. All right, on the phone with us from the U.S. Open is Mr. Braxton Oliver. Braxton, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. How are you?
Braxton, welcome to the show. Big fan. Been watching you shoot. You've been doing great out there, buddy.
Thank you.
So, Jason, you got the first question?
No, you do, Sean.
I do?
Oh, jeez, okay. You can't read notes at all, Braxton. Just bear with us here.
All right, Braxton, we're going to start off with an easy one. So, you're still a fairly young shooter, but you've got a lot of experience. I mean, come on. You've been on the Team USA, the Team USA Gold, multiple-time All-American. And are you just now, what, 23 or 24 years old?
24.
Okay, 24. So, yeah, my son's 22 for reference, so, oh, man, I'm feeling old.
You're an old fart, Sean.
I'm definitely an old fart these days. All right, so as you were coming up through the ranks, Braxton, and I ask this of a lot of shooters that we get on here, what is one small thing that you changed or that you did in your shooting game that you feel had the biggest impact or made the biggest change on your scores? Can you narrow it down to something specific?
Not anything specific. Like I said, you know, I'm 24 and I have most of my lifetime is nothing but experience of shooting. I've been shooting NSCA for 12 years. I started when I was 12 years old. So just a lot of practice, going to a lot of tournaments, seeing a lot of things. And from a youth shooter to now, you know, maturity is in general is a big thing.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, Sean's diving right into questions here, Braxton. First of all, I want to know, how you doing at the U.S. Open? What did you shoot today? What are you getting ready to shoot? How'd you do?
We started off with the Freedom Cup first thing this morning. Pretty good course. I thought it was, you know, fairly soft, and then they threw in two or three good ones there. One of them was actually my last station. I was on a really good score and went to the last station and dropped four birds on the last one. And it was just a tough pair. The last station they had it was a trap Batu and a standard, and you know, or not Batu, Rabu. They had a trap Rabu and a standard, and Rabu's hard enough, and they throw a true pair with a decent amount of string on both targets, and it was a pretty testy pair.
Wow. You know, Braxton, when I first met you at the Florida State shoot last year in December, me, you, and Chris Ferris were having a discussion about shooting 100 straight. Now, first of all, somebody that's in a lower class, I was blown away at the ability to do that. And then you kind of laughed and said, do you know how many 99s I've shot only to miss the last bird? I know this may be hard to explain, but for our listeners, can you explain the level of mental focus for a 99 or 100 straight? How do you get there? I mean, how do you get to that level of mental focus to be able to do that?
It's the level of mental focus, it's really high, but I think the hardest part of staying at that high level is being able to stay relaxed and stay at that high level. I've been fortunate enough to shoot, you know, a handful of 100 straights, and none of them, you know, I've had some come from where I was, you know, well-rested and seeing the target great, moving the gun great, and I've had some where I was on, you know, 3 hours of sleep, two brain cells, and a Red Bull, and just and go out there and it happens.
Wow.
But it certainly is a lot. And once you – and a lot of people, you know, you get on a – you start off good and you get on a roll, and then where it gets scary is halfway through the round, you hit a point and you're like, you know, this could happen. And I think a lot of people kind of get caught up on going from kind of playing offense, you know, being relaxed and going after the bird the way you want to go after it, and then you kind of start second-guessing yourself, you know, triple-guessing yourself, and, you know, which way is easier, you know, which way should I shoot it? And you kind of get more defensive.
Gotcha.
And that if you can get past kind of that halfway point where you start to kind of doubt yourself, then it's pretty smooth sailing after that. Until you get to the last one and you're shaking, you know, you drop like six shells trying to put shells in the gun.
I've never shot 100 straight. I haven't even came close, but I think I kind of understand what you're talking about. I mean, I've been on a run before where I may have only missed one or two at the beginning of a tournament, and then I've gone – actually, my record is 9 stations in a row without dropping a target. And then all of a sudden, that feeling, that sensation sets in of, I'm going to turn a big number today. And then you start shooting safety, protection, checking lead. I mean, it's like – how do you stop that? How do you mentally go, No. We're going to be aggressive here. How does Braxton approach those feelings of those targets?
Recently, it kind of seems like I forgot how to.
You're saying it comes and goes.
It kind of comes and goes. Kind of the old saying, that sometimes it's my day, sometimes it's not. But it's, oh, man. I'm trying to think of a good answer, but I'm one of the guys that I'm kind of very relaxed, and I don't have a lot of philosophy behind it all. But some days you can convince yourself you can do it, and some days you can't.
Right.
Yeah, well, we all have those days. I mean, Jason and I have experienced plenty of them, and I'm sure you've experienced way more than us, so we understand. You know, speaking of tournaments and stuff and where you're at right now, you know, Braxton, I don't know if you know me or not, if you've seen me. I'm a bigger guy just like you are. And, you know, for us big guys, especially like in the heat and stuff, it tends to wear on you. And when you're at a big shoot, you know, you're down there 3, 4, maybe even 5 days. Is there anything that you do to condition yourself or to prepare yourself for a big shoot like that? We shoot with a lot of guys, and, you know, everybody has their own approach. I'm always curious to hear about what it is that you do or what works for you.
So, you know, like this weekend, it's way hotter than I expected it would be. But typically, you know, weeks in advance, you know, the biggest thing you can do is drink a lot of water. I mean, I have a couple of years ago, we shot another really hot one down at Backwoods, and I kind of overdid it one day and nearly passed out. They had to pull that. I did have to drop out of the fire stand halfway through, but I nearly passed out that day. And every shoot since then, 2 weeks before the shoot, you know, I'm water, PV light if I can find it. So that's been a huge part of my well in advance routine for a tournament. And when you're really hydrated, to me, I don't ever feel that hot, you know, when you're, you know, really hydrated and comfortable. Outside of that, while we're at a shoot, I take every opportunity I can to kind of relax in between stations or in between shooters. I don't like standing up there and watching 20, 30 pairs of targets. You know, I'll look at what I need to see. You know, if it's a little bit tougher, I'll look at a few extra. But if I'm not doing that, you know, it sounds kind of lazy, but, you know, I'll go sit down on the cart until it's my turn to shoot, or I'll sit down on the bench. And I just try to take every opportunity I can not to keep moving around as much and just stay as relaxed as possible.
Do you also think that helps with your mental preparation, like when you step away like that? I mean, I know a lot of guys will stay in the box or next to the box, you know, with their squad and just watch everybody shoot. I mean, do you feel like you get kind of a mental rest as well when you step away and, you know, just kind of wait your turn?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, in all those downtime, you know, I'm on my phone talking to someone, or I listen to music when I shoot. You know, my downtime, I'm not trying to think about the targets until I'm in that box.
You know, Braxton, that's well said, because I've noticed when, let's say there's 5 guys on a squad and I'm the last shooter or second last shooter, if I sit there and I stare at every pair and I'm worried about my plan, I'm worried about my routine or whatever, I'm just sitting there staring at every bird. It's almost like it builds anxiety. Am I correct in saying that?
Mm-hmm. If you sit there and look at the same target over and over one time and you try to look at it the same way, eventually you're going to look at it a different way.
Right.
And then now you got 2 options instead of the one that you saw the first time and sticking with it.
Yeah. Guess long, guess wrong, right?
Right. Exactly.
Well, on the same line, so, I mean, I know that you, for your body, you're getting hydrated, you're getting rested, you take breaks and stuff. I've read that when you were younger, you used to practice a lot. I think I read something like you would average about 1,000 rounds per week. These days, when you're getting ready for a big tournament like the U.S. Open, what does your training and practice regimen look like before a big tournament?
Well, Tuesday, I went out with a friend and shot 50 targets, and half of those were from the hip and over the head. So,
Alrighty.
I don't have many opportunities to practice nowadays. Really, I mean, I haven't had a good practice day in probably a couple months now. You know, I go out and shoot here and there with friends like I did on Tuesday, but I really don't. I don't practice much anymore.
Gotcha.
You know, that's funny you say that, because you take a guy like Radulovich, both of you are kind of one and the same in that at a younger age, put in the work, put in the grind of hundreds, if not thousands of targets a week. And then you've built that skill set to where now you don't need to go out and turn 1,000 targets a week in order to be ready. Am I right?
I don't. Yeah. I mean, I've already seen, I mean, like I said, we've shot so many shells. We've seen so many targets that, you know, I'm very comfortable in how I shoot. You know, I just, I try to shoot enough to kind of keep that feeling, you know, how, you know, staying with the gun, staying connected with the gun, you know, make sure the mount's okay. And that's really all you need. And the rest of it's kind of left up to, you know, are you mentally prepared?
Right. Well, Braxton, I want to kind of back up for a minute here. You shot the last couple of years of the PSCA and you saw it come to an end. From then until now, what is something that you feel this sport as a whole needs to improve? Is it another PSCA or maybe something like the Game Boy Classic that any class can compete in? Or is it something else within the organization? What do you feel needs to change to improve the sport?
Cool.
We ask the tough questions here on the Dead Pair, Braxton.
That's always a tough one for me to answer.
Well, it's just an opinion. There's no right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
Right. That's what makes it tough. I have very, very mixed opinions because, you know, as a competitor, as a competitor who's highly competitive, I have that opinion. And then I have, you know, range owner, range manager opinion, you know, the business side of it. So I have very conflicting opinions on it. Yeah, I'm really not sure. I mean, it's...
Well, I mean, there's no pressure. If you want to think about it and come back to it, we can definitely do that. Let's talk about something else here. So, I know you say you don't practice a lot, but is it typical, like, when you do practice, do you strictly stick to, like, sporting style targets, or do you ever go out and cross train on the trap or the skeet fields at all?
No, growing up, I started in sporting clays and always stayed in sporting clays. There's not a lot of trap and skeet on Eastern North Carolina, so I never really had that available to me when I was younger. I mean, I went to college and shot for a couple of years in college, and I did a lot of cross practice there, but since then I have not. I don't think I've shot on a skeet field since 2015 or 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Braxton, I know you do some coaching, but as far as your go-to method, do you have one in certain, or do you carry every method in your toolbox?
I'll say that my kind of go-to and my fallback, you know, if I'm, you know, things aren't working well, what I try to do is pull away, just because I'm a very slow, deliberate shooter. So I love connecting with the target, riding with the target, and really getting a feel for the speed of the target before I move the gun on it.
Okay.
But I do shoot a mixture of everything. And the days that I'm shooting really well, I mean, that's, you know, I use everything pretty evenly.
And so does that...
But, you know, if I'm not shooting well and nothing's connecting right, you know, that pull away is my go-to.
Gotcha. So is that the same as you train your students, or do you have a go-to method that you train your students?
I certainly do try to start them off on pull away.
Okay.
But if I do a lesson and we go around the course and we're looking at targets and I see a target that I would absolutely not shoot pull away in, you know, I take the time and we work on different methods and try to shoot the target. You know, something that would be a little bit easier.
Gotcha.
You know, Braxton, I think I was reading in some of your information online. I think you made it clear that, or well, at least I got the impression that you like shooting big targets, you know, big, fast, far stuff.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
Okay. So as somebody that likes to shoot those types of targets, how would you recommend? So, you know, again, for a lot of our listeners, they're newer shooters. They're getting into their first tournaments. You know, a lot of them are maybe just a year into the sport or less. And when they get in the box, they see a, you know, 50 or 60 yard fast crosser on edge. They get intimidated. And obviously that's a tough one for anybody.
Yep.
How do you recommend a shooter approach big, fast targets? I mean, what do you tell your students? What would you recommend to our listeners as kind of a method or what you do to shoot those kinds of targets?
Well, I mean, if they're big, you either got to go big or go home. But at the same time, you should you know, you can't be out of control and crazy when you shoot them.
Gotcha.
Big targets do take big leads, but it takes a lot of control.
Yeah. I mean, that's well said, because if you're a quarter inch off at the gun, you could be feet away at the target.
Yep.
So, gotcha.
You know, if you see a big gap and you just really push the front hand, you know, you're blowing way out in front of it instead of holding that very distinct big gap and having control of the gun and just staying out in front of it evenly.
So, like, for Braxton, when you shoot a 50 or 60-yard crosser on edge and it's going fast, are you typically using your pull-away method, or are you using something else?
Now, when we're shooting, like, a big targets, big crossers, it does depend on the speed of the target. But if I can look at it and say, you know, that target's getting out of there, I shoot sustained lead.
Okay.
But if I look at it and it looks a little bit slow, kind of medium, I might do pull-away. That's the kind of target, you know, I might look at a few extra birds and kind of play with it in my head. You know, everyone uses their hand when they're shooting. You know, I sit there and try it out. Okay, if I do pull the weight, you know, can I break it in time? Or, you know, if I feel like it's kind of too quick for me to shoot pull away, then, I'll shoot the sustained lead.
So
that is one of the instances where I'll look at a few more, you know, like anybody else. I mean, it's a big target, so
sure.
I would look at it a few more and kind of play with it.
So do you typically approach a target like that? Like, again, say it's a 50, 60-yard crosser, got some speed on it. Are you typically going aggressive, so you're trying to hit it early, or are you really just riding it out and waiting for your moment?
Well, the great thing about sporting clays is everything's different. So I kind of, I got to see the specific target and kind of read it and figure out what I want to do with it.
Yeah, no, fair enough, fair enough.
Anthony, at the Northeast Regional, they had – one specific tower where it was probably, I'd say, maybe a good 40 yards to our left and maybe 40 yards out in front. Well, maybe 50 yards. I don't know. That was a hot day too. And that was a few months ago, but it was at least 40, you know, out to our left and out in front. And he had a standard going directly up off the tower in a way.
Wow.
I mean, like, lean back, going straight up in the sky, up and away. And then he had a very soft kind of quarter belly crossing target that was easily 40 yards. And both those targets were very, very different. So the one that was going straight up, you know, I looked at it and I knew right away I was going to shoot sustained lead. But then the other one kind of very slowly quartering across was slow enough that, you know, I could – connect with it and ride it and take my time and shoot pull away like I want to. Gotcha. So it all depends.
Gotcha.
Well, Braxton, I know what's near and dear to your heart is your North Carolina State Championship.
Mm-hmm.
But what is the most fun you have had shooting sporting clays? And it doesn't have to be a win. Is there an event that sticks out, or maybe a particular outing that sticks out in your mind? Tell us about the most fun Braxton's had shooting sporting clays.
Mm.
Putting you on the spot.
There's been a lot. Ooh. Nationals has been a lot of fun for me. Outside of the state shoot, Nationals has been a lot of fun for me. Just because that's the only shoot that I take an entire week. Yeah, me and my dad, a couple of years ago, you know, we would travel, me, dad, grandpa. Unfortunately, we lost grandpa last year, and he had a couple of years of bad health, so it was just me and dad. So me, dad, and a buddy of ours, we would load up in the truck late Sunday night, drive straight through the night, get there Monday afternoon, and we just kind of hang out and, you know, just going to Nationals for the entire week and really spacing everything out and hanging out with dad there all week and shooting with him. That's probably the funnest thing. That's probably my funnest shoot of the year every year for the past several years.
Very cool. Most
enjoyable.
So let's back up to when you were young. You said you got started when you were 12. Was it because somebody you knew shot registered tournaments, or your dad, or what got you into the sport?
So I started shooting registered targets when I was 12. I started shooting a lot younger than that, but you know, we our grandfather, my grandfather ran a club, Rose Hill in Nashville, for several years. So even well before I was born, my family was already shooting sporting clays. So when I was born and was old enough to hold a shotgun, you know, we were, you know, the whole family did it.
Gotcha.
So Braxton, we do this thing here called rapid fire questions. You ready for these?
Possibly.
All right. So first
I'm
question.
I'm a very slow, deliberate person, so rapid fire is not my forte. We'll see.
Well, we'll slow it down a bit then. Yeah. Fair enough.
Nah, there's no right or wrong here. You're not going to be graded. So, okay. First question. Gun. What gun do you shoot?
Krieghoff Park Quarters, 34 inch with thin walls.
Nice. What barrel length?
He said 34.
34. Okay. Ported?
Non-ported.
Okay. Custom stock or factory stock?
Custom stock by Jim Greenwood.
Nice. You said fixed choke, right?
Thin walls.
Thin walls. Do you have a go-to constriction?
Yes, thin walls.
Or do you change chokes?
I've been really enjoying the 25,000s here recently, and you know, I'll throw a skeet choke in when I need it.
Nice. What shells do you shoot?
Winchester AA, 1 ounce 1290, 7.5.
7.5. You don't ever change it up? Just stick with 7.5 no matter what?
No, I used to have the same philosophy years ago. I just want to shoot the one shell and, you know, be able to shoot it to everything. And I recently switched back to that philosophy, and I don't know why I ever changed.
Vest or shell bag?
I kind of go back and forth over the years. Right now I'm on vest.
Okay. Brand?
I recently got my new Bear Pelt. I really enjoy it.
There you go.
They are very nice, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love mine today. Like I said, it's been hot down here, and when I took it off this morning, I was pretty dry.
Nice.
Good deal.
Glasses?
Pila.
Ear protection?
Headphones.
Oh, Beats really? Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Did we cover everything?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, Braxton, I mean, it's been awesome to have you on here. Any sponsors or people you want to thank?
Yeah, definitely Krieghoff International, Alex, Ken, Jackie. They're all great guys, and they, you know, I'm very fortunate to for their support in the last couple of years. Little Nick Berry and Chris Soler at Little Trapper. And Granny Sherman with PMS, Jim Greenwood, Greenwood's Custom Stocks. I believe that's about it.
Okay.
Nice.
And one last thing I'll ask you, since we do, this podcast is basically meant for, you know, new shooters and stuff, any pearls of wisdom or advice you would give to a new shooter getting into the sport?
Ooh, shoot as much as possible and enjoy every bit of it.
Well said.
Nice.
Well said.
Braxton, if somebody's down in your area and they want to take a lesson with you or they'd like to hook up with you, how can they get a hold of you?
They can find me on Facebook, Instagram. I get a lot of messages, and I don't mind it one bit. I work out of Hunters Point Sporting Clay, so if you can look up Hunters Point and give the range a call, that's where I'm at 24/7 pretty much. So not very, very easy to get a hold of.
Awesome. Well, Braxton, thank you very much for spending some time with us. I know you're right in the middle of the U.S. Open, so we'll let you go, let you get some sleep, and good luck to you.
Yeah, man. Best of luck to you, Braxton.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. I enjoyed it.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
See you, Braxton.
Yep, see you guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Sean Alley, Braxton Oliver.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I mean, golly, for a young man, 24 years old, he's got a lot of accomplishments, man. I mean, 5-time Team USA, 2-time Team USA Gold, North Carolina State Champion, multiple-time All-American. I mean, the list goes on. He's been there, done that. He's done stuff we haven't even dreamed of doing yet.
And yet
he's twice the age.
Right?
More than twice the age.
Yeah. Well, maybe you. You're old.
Who are you calling old?
Yeah. He's bashful, but he is such a polite, respectful young man. Privileged to have him on our show.
I hate to say it, but he's the epitome of the shooting sport. I mean, the young guys coming up,
for sure.
And not only are they world-class shooters, but they're excellent young men and young ladies that are representing the sport. And You can tell they've all been raised right.
And, you know, that's well said. I mean, that's a testament to Sporting Clays. You'll never meet a finer group of people. And
we say it all the time.
Yeah. And use this as fuel. Take somebody new. Even if it's somebody that doesn't, you know what, here's something, Sean. Even if it's somebody that, you know, yeah, okay, whatever, Sporting Clays, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I've done. And this is kind of funny. Ask them, say, hey, would you mind going with me for an hour and a half? Yeah, sure. What do you need? Just go pull targets for me. Okay. By station three, they want your gun. They want to try it.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next thing you know.
I don't even know if it's station three. Probably station two or, right? Or the end of station one.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I can do that?
Yeah. So take somebody new out shooting.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, this is how each person can help. I mean, it's kind of like voting. There's more to it than just casting your vote.
Right.
So get out. Take somebody new shooting. Thank you very much, Game Boar, Negrini, RE Ranger, Atlas Traps, and Bear Pelt. Thank you very much for your support. Everybody, visit our webpage, thedeadpair.com, and click on any of the links that we have right there at the top. Listen, these are products that we truly believe in. These are products that we have, that we use, and that we really truly believe can help you get to the pinnacle of the sport. So trust me, they're not just sponsors paying us money. These are people, these are products that we believe in. Go check them out. Understand why we push them so much.
Yeah, I mean, we can't do it without them. We thank them. We believe in them, and we appreciate them supporting the show. Without them, we couldn't keep bringing you great content like this. And a big thank you to Braxton, obviously, tonight for joining us.
Yeah, for sure. And we will see you next week on the Dead Paradox.